Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised. What was that? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear anything. Oh yeah, there it was again. It's like some douchebag with a motorcycle. Freaking.
Oh. I was like, oh my god, is it another ghost?
No.
This is a vaguely haunted podcast, if anyone was wondering. We're not going to talk about that, because last time I did, it started up again. Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. This week's book, that you may or may not have read, is The Deal by L. Kennedy. And we have Barbara back with us to discuss. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, guys. This is a part I always hate.
Barbara's back. She was on a few episodes ago for Engagement and Espionage. And I had a listener request more information about your bees.
About my bees specifically or about bees in general?
Your bees specifically.
I mean, all of the bees are my bees, so, I mean.
Yes.
I mean, what did they want to know, just, like, about, like, the research, or?
I think so. They literally just, the message was, I want to know more about her bees.
Want to know more about Barbara's bees.
Barbara's bees.
I mean, they seem to be doing well. I mean, where I work, we do research. And agricultural landscapes, basically just trying to improve populations and trying to increase diversity of native bees. So, I mean, I'm out there a lot, get to see them every day, say hi. If you have specific questions in a later episode, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Make a list of your bee questions for Barbara.
Yeah, I'll answer any bee question, even if it's just like a random, you know, something about bee question, or if it's more about like what I do. I'll answer it.
Yeah. Oh, did you read Beau's book?
Mm-mm. Not yet. But I've been wanting to. I just haven't really had that much time for reading. And I was like kind of grateful to be like on this because I was like, okay, this will force me to read.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have Chessie right here.
Chessie!
Although she has her back turned. She's like not want to be.
Yeah, she's like, no.
She does not want to be a part of this.
Not about it.
Uh-oh. Now she's rubbing her face on the laptop.
Like, hey, I read it too.
You can hear her heavy breathing.
Aw, Chessie.
Old grandma cat.
I love her. I would die for Chessie.
Yeah, I think we all would.
100%.
Very dieable.
All right. What are you drinking there?
So I am drinking my cheap red wine out of a mug. They're back to my college days. And I think probably a lot of people also did this in college, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Barefoot.
It's okay. Yeah. Barefoot. Whatever, dude. I still drink Barefoot.
I mean, I still do too, but yeah. It's been a while since I've drank out of a mug. And it's kind of nice.
True. I like it.
But yeah, this book was definitely nice to read with alcohol, like some wine.
Oh my god. Okay, so let's see, what am I drinking here? They mentioned someone making margaritas at some point.
Ooh.
And since it's fall, I did a little fall spin on it. It's an apple cider margarita.
Oh yum, that actually sounds really good.
And it's in a mason jar for extra fallness. And now I'm gonna eat this apple slice that I garnished it with. I've been waiting.
That sounds really good. I actually thought about, because I was like kind of racking my brain to think, okay, what did they drink in this that wasn't beer out of a keg? So that's what I was like, wine.
I think she had daiquiris when she got drunk at the bar.
Oh yeah, she did.
But I don't really fuck with daiquiris. I don't dislike them or anything. It's just like,
I thought about making like a hunch punch.
Oh.
But then I was like, no, that's way too much. Like, I don't think I can go that far. I mean, I'd make like a nice hunch punch. I wouldn't make like, you know, like kids do these days where they literally just throw it in like a tub and
you'd be drunk 10 minutes in.
Yeah, no. I didn't even see her behind you.
Yeah, what are you doing? Ew, get out of here. She is just tromping on everything on this desk. She's like, this is my space. Why is there shit everywhere? Okay, hold on.
She's like, I thought you were interviewing me. I thought this was my podcast.
You're being so bad. Oh, Chessie's acting up too. Chessie. Cats are going wild. Oh, God. Chessie. Rash. What are you... Just get right on all of my paperwork. That's, yeah. Cool. I'm going to take a picture. Oh, it looks like a damn ghost is in this picture. Ratchet, are you haunted?
She's not haunted. She's definitely communicating with the spirits.
The devil.
That's what I think about my cats. I'm like, they're definitely, they're up to something. They're talking to someone.
When cats just stop and like stare up at the ceiling or behind you or in a random corner for like, I don't know, 3 solid minutes. Whenever the cats start doing that, I'm just like, it's not nice to stare at the demons. Stop it.
Right. I feel like Chessie is not living in the same realm. She is on another plane of existence, usually.
I would say that's accurate. Okay. Let's talk about the author a little bit. L. Kennedy is a New York Times, USA Today, and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. She grew up in the suburbs of Toronto, Ontario, and holds a BA in English from York University. From an early age, she knew she wanted to be a writer and actively began pursuing that dream when she was a teenager. Elle writes romantic suspense and erotic contemporary romance for various publishers. She loves strong heroines and sexy alpha heroes, and just enough heat and danger to keep things interesting. I got all that from the author's website. It looks like she has about a dozen series out right now. Of course, all romance, naturally. In fact, she co-authored the book in the WAG series with Serena Bowen, and that was one of our boners. Back in August.
Oh, wow.
Snake Riley.
But wow, yeah. So prolific. Like, that is a lot of books to write.
It really is. I really enjoy her books. Speaking of, let's get into the Brazen Book Report. We're going to kick it off with a short summary.
It's a book basically about a jock named Garrett who is failing his philosophy class and he needs a tutor. And the tutor happens to be another fine, attractive woman who he pretty much is pestering to try to get her to actually tutor him. And yeah, the book is all about, you know, them meeting, and they meet kind of on this pretense of, okay, we're going to make a deal. And the deal involves her romance with another guy trying to make him jealous. And of course, we all know with the romance books, never goes to plan.
Nope.
What'd you think about it?
Hannah has a huge crush on a hipster football player. And Garrett, big dude bro hockey star, needs tutoring so he doesn't flunk and get kicked off the team, ruining his hockey dreams forever. The two opposites strike a deal and both learn that neither of them is what the other expected. The himbo catches feels for the music major and must convince her that he's the better bargain.
Wow. That is good. I like that you describe him as a himbo, because, yeah, that is like 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Great description.
Were there any quotes you liked?
Okay, so I ended up liking this one quote that I highlighted in my ebook, which... when I first read it, I thought this had to be a Twilight reference, but I don't think it's actually that close. I think it's more of just, it's just a romance description word, like description-y words, but I don't know. I don't really read enough romance to know if this is like cliche or not. But the quote is, "We were together for 8 months and I was wildly and unequivocally in love with him." And that just sounded like that quote from Twilight, which, let me pull it up. Oh, the Twilight quote is, "I am unconditionally and irrevocably or irrevocably? How do you pronounce that word?
Girl, why are you asking me?
Okay. I was unconditionally and irrevocably. Still doesn't sound right.
Okay.
That's what Bella said about Edward. And I don't know, that quote felt like a throwback or something, like, you know, head nod.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's all in my head because I just like Twilight.
You like Twilight?
Who doesn't?
Wait, did you read Midnight Sun?
I actually just started reading it. I know I'm like super behind, but I couldn't find a copy for a while. I feel like it sold out, and I don't know, I just had a hard time finding a copy for a minute, and then I forgot about it, and then I finally bought it, and now I'm catching up.
You didn't listen to the first episode, did you?
No, I didn't, because I've been waiting to read the book, so I want to listen.
Duh.
You guys like rip it apart?
A little bit.
That's fair.
A little bit. But it's, you know, this is a book series we were obsessed with when we were around 16, and now we're in our 30s, so.
Yeah, I mean, I read it, because I'm a little younger than you. I'm 27. I think I read it. I remember my mom getting me the trilogy in, like, a set, and I was 13, so I was, like, prime time. Like, that's a good time to get hit with the Twilight books.
Oh, God.
I was in love with Edward. But then I was also, like, embarrassed I liked Twilight, because I kind of was, you know, that awkward age where everything's embarrassing.
Yeah, true.
So what about you? Did you have any quotes that stuck out to you?
I mean, there was a lot of good banter in general that I really liked. But specifically this one, this is a good one. Garrett's talking to Hannah. I think they're getting ready to leave for a party. We want to be fashionably late, not asshole late.
That's good, because yeah,
it's like a little one, but it's
definitely relatable.
Yeah, it's super relatable. I like it. What was your favorite part?
This might be a little controversial. And I may be exposing myself a little bit.
Oh no. Okay.
But I actually really enjoyed some of the sex scenes, which usually I don't know, usually they're like a little too much, or like I don't like, they drag on for too long, they go on for too long, or like they're kind of like,
yeah,
not that tasteful. But I feel like they were pretty well done in this book. Like, they were the perfect amount of trash for me.
I was wondering, so I forgot about you talking about the sex scene and engagement and espionage, and then when I picked this book for us, I thought about it and I was like, oh shit, I forgot how much sex is in this.
But I mean, like, I don't know, for some reason, I just like this more than engagement and espionage. Like, I don't know.
To be fair, that was my bad. I'm so used to reading series that each book is a standalone. Mm-hmm. You can read any book to start with and it'll all make sense. But I feel like engagement and espionage is more of a complementary series and not a standalone.
Yeah.
It's a spinoff, but it's not standalone.
Yeah, it felt like fanfare.
Yeah, so
like for the characters, like you, for people that already like the characters.
Yeah, so I didn't do that this time. We started with book one.
Appreciate it. You know, I am actually kind of interested in this whole series because I read that it's about, you know, the hockey players and each guy.
It's all of his roommates.
Yeah.
All of his roommates. And they're actually, there is a spinoff series to this one called Briar U.
Hmm.
And I read all of those too.
Okay.
This is just one of my favorite, just trashy sports romances. It's fluffy. It's fun. It's funny. It's over the top. It clearly makes fun of itself. It's not meant, you know, it's not meant to be taken seriously, but...
Can it even be called a sports romance? Because, like, how much sports was actually in it?
Yeah, true. Well, he's a hockey player, obviously.
I mean, he plays hockey, and they maybe have, like, a paragraph about how he lost the game or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be, like, a little more sports, and I was like, oh, that's going to kind of suck, but...
I think as the series goes on, they talk a bit more about hockey, depending on which player the book's covering.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part?
So, as I said, this is one of my favorite fluffy sports romance series. So, I have a few. They were just little things. The locker room scene.
Oh, yeah. And they're all, like, nude.
So at this point in the book, Hannah and Garrett have split, and she has just found out that Garrett put like a campus-wide ban on anyone trying to date her. Yeah, with threats of bodily harm. So Hannah is pissed, full on rage mode, not thinking that clearly. She bursts into the men's locker room after their practice or something. And let's see. This is like a part of a quote of what she said. Penises everywhere. Penis convention. Penis shaped penises. Like, just dicks galore. I would be so... Was there someone just screaming?
That was my neighbor.
What were they?
I think it was a playful scream. I'm not sure. I don't think it was like a murdery scream. There's like a bunch of kids in my building.
Oh,
so.
Okay. That was hilarious. Let's see. Love it. Love a good penis convention.
Yeah, 100%.
So as I said before, the banter. Literally the banter between Garrett and his friends. The banter between Hannah and her friends, but mainly the banter between Hannah and Garrett. It's just so good. It's so well done and ridiculous. It is over the top, and some people are like, oh, it's so corny, it's so cheesy. And I was like, yeah, that's the point. Like, it's literally, they're mocking themselves. Like, the dialogue is mocking the romance genre and tropes in and of themselves. So,
yeah, and overall, like, I felt Garrett to be pretty likable, yeah. Which like I could just see him being like that, you know, very likable, popular guy that it's like kind of hard to hate,
yeah,
because they're just like give off like a good energy, like they're just kind of goofy,
yeah. Himbo,
yeah, himbo.
Before the locker room scene, there's a part where that's the part where Hannah actually finds out what Garrett has done, disallowing anyone to date her, and she finds out by calling Allie, her roommate and best friend. She calls Allie's boyfriend, Sean, to try to get him to set her up with one of his teammates because he's on the football team. And he's like, no. So then she eventually gets him to explain why, and that brings about the locker room scene. But while they're having this conversation, it's super awkward and she because they don't hang out without Allie. So she awkwardly asks, oh, do you want to hang out and maybe bring one of your other football player friends? Or so she basically asks for the setup. And he immediately is like, he immediately jumps to, is this a test? Allie, I love you, baby. I'd never cheat on you. Oh my God. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was so funny. I was like, this is too much. But yeah, really, one of my favorite ironic moments was when, so in the beginning of the book, Garrett is talking about he was hooking up with this girl, Kendall, and she was getting clingy, and he was discussing how women can't just have sex, they get feelings, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess who pulled a Kendall?
Right? Like, he did the exact same thing, dude.
Guess what? I loved it. I loved it. And I love the fact that he fell first. Because, you know, they switch it up in romance, but I always like when the guys fall first. It's usually pretty comical.
Yeah, and honestly, another thing, like, just thinking about things I enjoyed, was I felt like Garrett, like his communication for someone in college,
yeah,
really wasn't that bad. Like I was kind of impressed. Like after they get into the fight, because what's his name? Oh, Justin. Because you know Hannah was supposed to go on the date with Justin. You know, and this is kind of after the romance had been unfolding between her and Garrett, and she agrees to this date with Justin, but then she's kind of like, thinking like maybe I shouldn't go because you know things with Garrett are going well, but you know eventually of course Garrett finds out and you know he confronts her, and at first he's pissed, he gets really upset, and obviously like you know that makes sense. That's what I was expecting from like some you know college frat, well he's not a frat guy, but you know college athlete, you know 20 year old
wait no he is in a fraternity. It's like a throwaway line, but yeah, he's in a frat.
Oh, he's a frat. But then, you know, after they have like initial kind of blowout, he leaves and she follows him out, and pretty much like they are able to resolve it pretty easily, which I was thinking, like, when I was in college, if I had a blowout like that, like one of us would have just stormed off and like we would have never been able to communicate how we actually felt. But then he goes like, well, she's like, oh, the way that you came at me was pretty bad. And you're not even thinking about my feelings. You just instantly wanted me to get in this relationship. And I haven't even had time to process. And then there's a quote where he says like, oh yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, she has a point. Yeah. And then eventually he just goes, we're pretty much, I know we're into each other. Like, how do we make this official? Which I don't know. I just like that because I felt like most guys, they would have just been so in their own ego and they wouldn't have been able to like cool down enough and just be able to admit, like, I like this person and I want to make it work. Like, how can we make it work? Mm-hmm. So I was honestly like, props to Garrett. Kind of impressed. Like, better communication than some of the 28-year-olds I've been dating lately. So.
Oh, God. He realized that he had been in it. He'd been in that mode for a little bit at that point. And he just, it's like he kind of assumed that Hannah would be too. So that's, you know, him getting upset. And then when she calls him on it, he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
Something that I also really liked about this book was, God, I'm forgetting her friend's name, but there's a point in this, Allie, yeah. I think it's the one where pretty much they're like, where they're going to go to a party. And well, I guess beforehand, Hannah mentions, oh, I don't go to parties, obviously, because of this traumatic thing that happened. And Allie has always been really understanding of that. And Allie wants her to go to a party. And she pretty much, her friend says like, yeah, but I'm not going to drink. We'll stay together. Like, I'll go to a college party sober with you. Which to me, I was like, in college, I don't know of that many people that would have been like, okay, like, I'm not going to drink.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay by your side at this college party because of, you know, which I was like, really taken away with like how good of a friend she was. And it seemed like she had a really good support system.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Garrett, even before Garrett, which I think was really nice that they highlighted. It wasn't like she was a super broken, you know, person who didn't have any support.
Yeah, it wasn't just Garrett supporting her. She has support from her family, her friends, her therapist. She did the hard work. She did most of the hard work with them and herself. Mostly with herself. Okay, those were the favorites. What was your least favorite?
So, I mean, overall, which I think is kind of what it seems like reading online, what a lot of people are kind of critiquing is, you know, the sexual assault that's kind of brought up. And I feel like they're not really, I mean, with at least Hannah's case, they kind of discuss her sexual assault and how it's affected her, and they kind of go a little more into detail. But then when they bring on the, you know, my father hits me from Garrett, you know, that he's, you know, having to deal with abuse as a child, I feel like that was kind of like just pushed under the rug almost. Like, I just feel like they included these two huge things that like are going to affect them in such huge ways. And they showed like a little bit of how it's affected them, but not, I feel like you don't bring up those two big things, especially two of them, and have it be like, okay, now we're both broken. Like, that's just what they kept saying. Like, oh, like I'm broken or whatever. I'm broken. So I understand it's not a super serious book. But at the same time, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then, you know, to go into more detail on, you know, Hannah's thing of, oh, I felt like I could never orgasm and that, you know, that made me broken and all of this stuff. Then I just instantly worked with Garrett and, oh, no, he fixed me. I just feel like that has like kind of a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, it's not, this isn't a book that's meant to be like realistic in any way, but.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that when I went on to Snag Reviews.
I guess I'm more against the whole, or the part that kind of bothered me.
He fixes her.
Yeah, the whole, you know.
The fixing. Okay, so Hannah gets raped when she's 15 at a high school party. She was drugged. Since her attack, she had such a hard time forming emotional bonds with men.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up forming a really strong bond with Garrett. She put in a lot of time with him, got comfortable around him, felt safe. So it kind of makes sense. They could have handled it better, like maybe not on the first go round, have her have like a big O, you know what I mean? Like they could have.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. I was like, how often does that happen? And you just orgasm on the first time. I'm like, never.
Never. Maybe just make him work for it a little bit. Add like a couple fail sex scenes, fail fool around scenes or whatever. Some fool around fails in there. And then
yeah,
it wouldn't have been as, oh, he has the magic penis. It cures everything.
Or maybe just make it more about like satisfied rather than being like, okay, I need to orgasm. But then again, it is, you know, romance, but
yeah. Well, that was kind of, I think that was her thing, because she had dated, and it's not like Garrett was the only person.
Yeah, yeah.
So Garrett wasn't the first person she dated since her attack. She dated another guy, and that was a problem they had.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't reach orgasm whenever they had sex or fooled around, and it ended up kind of tanking their relationship because, you know, the male ego. It was a very delicate thing.
Props to her for not faking her orgasms, like I'd say.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Don't fake your O's. Make him work for it. It can happen. It's possible.
So what do you think about, you know, the, you know, Garrett side, you know, when he admits the whole, everything with his father?
I don't know. It's just, it didn't bother me. It never bothered me when I read it. Because I think I went into it knowing it was going to be fluffy.
Yeah.
The abuse, that is a super common theme or device that is used in romance novels. Usually one of the characters will have somehow, in some way, shape, or form, been abused, and they have to overcome that or the effects of that in order to accept whatever romance is blooming, blossoming. I feel like they focused a bit more on the parental abuse with him because it was directly affecting him at that very moment. And for Hannah, she had already done the work, went to therapy, moved on from it for the most part. Like you're still, like, I think she says in the book, like, you're still going to have your bad days.
Yeah.
But she did a lot of work on herself. And this was kind of one of the last things, one of the last barriers that she wasn't able to bypass. Also, I don't know. I'm not claiming to know everything there is about assault or abuse or anything like that. Obviously, just my opinion in reading this fictional fluffy romance novel is it's a fluffy romance novel.
Yeah, everyone has their own trauma.
Oh yeah.
And another thing that I felt like could be potentially seen as problematic was, you know, just Garrett being really incessant at the beginning of wanting to be her, or wanting a tutor, you know, wanting her to be his tutor. And I mean, I guess that's like
borderline stalking and harassment.
That's like a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a common trope in romance, but you know, he was kind of bad, and I started thinking about, like, okay, as a sexual assault survivor, you know, that she is, like,
yeah,
I don't know, if someone was pressuring me that much and putting that much just constant, like, trying to force you to do something, I just wondered, I don't know, if that could have been, like, triggering.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was just super pushy, and it's like, sometimes I just get frustrated. I was getting a little frustrated reading this, because I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to build up this, you know, relationship between them that's eventually going to come, and you're going to be like, oh, like, it took so long to build up. But I feel like he was just so pushy for so long, and I was just like, in my head, oh, just no means no, dude, just stop.
Yeah, because I knew when I was reading it, I was like, oh, he's kind of coming on strong there.
But it seems like she also, like, likes it too. Like, she seems like she's not, like, it's kind of a game they're playing.
It's like comical to her. You know, it's when you're just like, ugh, fake exasperated.
Yeah. But I mean, like, showing up at her work, like, I feel like he did a few things that were a little too much for, like, real life, at least.
Oh, yeah, no.
Maybe romance book world, it's okay. But
yeah,
real world, I was like, if someone did that to me, cops would be called.
Yeah. One of my least favorite parts was the whole Hannah continuing trying to hook up with Justin, the hipster football player.
Yeah.
Girl, stop. No. Why would you, like, she's still, well, I liked him in the beginning. That's what brought this all about. So I guess I should see it through. And it's like, no, you clearly have a good thing going on. Why are you trying to ruin it?
Well, what bothered me too was I feel like Justin, they did not do him any service. I'm like,
no.
Why does she even like this guy? He seems basic as fuck. He seems...
And he's fake.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, why does she have a crush on him even? I almost wish they would have given him like a, you know, make him be hot and someone that like I would almost be rooting for and make it be like, who? Like, is this like a Jacob Edwards situation? Like, maybe make it that.
They made him...
He was non-existent. Like, he was barely there. And, like, for some reason, she was holding on.
He was definitely a plot device.
She was holding on to him. And, like, she wasn't even talking to him either. Like, I feel like it was just this weird crush she had.
Yeah, I was like, you have no built-up relationship with him. You barely talk to him. Why are you still trying to hook up with him?
Yeah, that was super weird. And I understand it set up, you know, the story.
Yeah.
But I almost felt like, I don't know, there needed to be something a little different, because it just felt like, who is this random ass guy and why is he still in the story?
From there, let's head on over to what the fuck moments.
Okay. So I think my biggest what the fuck while reading this was just right after they they go to Garrett's dad's for Thanksgiving, and it's a really traumatic event. Awkward dinner, and they realize his girlfriend's getting hit, and, you know, it's just not a good time. It's a really tense time. And they're leaving, they're driving away, and Garrett's emotionally kind of breaking down, like, am I becoming my father? Mm-hmm. And they're having this really serious conversation, and she's like, you're not your dad, and... I don't know, it's just so really emotional. And then all of a sudden, she's like, pull over. And then she's like, giving him a hand job. And I'm like, whoa, I understand you guys are young. But after something like that happened, does my first thought go to hand job in car? Like, let's have sex? No. I was just kind of like, whoa. But that's not to say I did not like it.
Hurry, quick, the cops are going to catch us.
But I was just in my head, I was like, oh wait, I have to remind myself, they're 20 years old, and I feel like when I was 20 years old, like, I was, you know, a rabbit or whatever, so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What was your what the fuck moment, you think?
Okay, so the dad threatening Hannah towards the end, like, don't date my son or I'm gonna cut him off. I was like, what? What is this? You know what would have been interesting? If instead of pulling that with the dad, if she had fleshed out Justin more, and then Hannah would have gone on a date with him, and that would have been the reason they broke up.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been good if it was more of like a, okay, I need to decide between two guys. Like, I feel like that's a trope that I love. Like, I want to have a team. Like, I want to be team. Team Garrett.
You like love triangles, but a lot of people fucking hate that.
True.
I mean, we're sitting here like, oh, how could she fix her book? We don't fucking know. We're not authors. We don't write books. We're just, we're just discussing openly themes, genres, tropes. So that was one. And then a little one, she has this big solo performance. They're competing for a scholarship, I believe. She's a music major, so she is doing a duet with the songwriter and this other singer. His name is Cass. He's a douche canoe. He steals the solo from her, that little bit.
I know, I was so secondhand stressed for her.
Oh my god, I know.
I was like, oh my god, what would I do?
Okay, so they would rehearse, and he was being a total diva the whole time, and each rehearsal, it would just progressively get worse and worse, and he'd be, let's do this, let's get a choir, let's get a, what was it, a cello?
Yeah.
Or a violin. let's get a cello in here. And she's like, we don't need, okay, whatever. But the songwriter, the girl who wrote the song, I think she accompanies it on piano, maybe. He basically seduces her into kicking Hannah out of the duet so he can perform it solo. What?
Yeah, that was so sus.
A fucking asshole.
Yeah, get out of here.
No, get out of here.
Yeah.
But good news, he dumps her in the end. Hope she learned her lesson.
Yeah, I was like, they have bad juju, so like I hope that they just have the worst luck.
Hi. So the main one, my main what the fuck, mm-hmm. kind of follows up on the least favorite when it comes to Justin. The fact that he is still trying to hook up with her knowing she has something going on with Garrett. That is so weird and gross to me. I don't understand. And Garrett had that whole thing about, oh, it's about, what is it? What was the word he used?
Like prestige, something like that.
Yeah, she has more prestige if she's dating a super popular hockey player. And it's like, okay, but then she'd be dating a super popular hockey. What? It makes sense. I get it. But at the same time, I don't get why she is okay with it.
Yeah.
Because she is so judgmental of everyone, pretty much. That's another thing. She's super judgy. Hannah is super judgy. Mm-hmm. So she's going to sit there and be judgy of everyone around her and not call out the fact that this dude's gross as fuck.
Right.
He only wants her because she's dating a hockey player. Mm-hmm. He didn't give her the time of day before, but now he's actively trying to ask her out and shit a few times throughout the book, knowing that she is with Garrett. Now, I mean, they weren't technically like with each other at that point.
Yeah, but like writing's on the wall.
Even after they got together, he was still trying it.
Yeah, that was bad. And then, yeah, like what you're saying, like for her to not be like,
ew.
Okay, now that you're interested in me because I'm with this guy, for me, I'd be like, okay, you know, that's red flag.
That's gross. Yeah, like, ew.
Justin was just not likable at all. Like, I just, yeah.
He wasn't. And then he started kind of aggressively pursuing her almost. And it was getting, I was like, I'm getting like bad vibes, like real bad vibes from him.
Yeah, and then at the end, when they're kind of friends, I was like, what?
Got spicy snippet about that.
Yeah, that was the part, that might be my, if I had a number one, what the fuck? Yeah. I was like, okay, that just because he was a part of the book doesn't mean he needs to stay in this.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah, right. Okay, speaking of Justin, let's get into red flags.
Justin, number one red flag.
Number one, Justin.
I mean, Garrett also kind of a red flag, but mostly just with just him being so pushy at the beginning. I feel like he showed some red flag behavior.
Yeah.
You know, just very incessant.
Yeah.
I also felt like a red flag just sometimes the way he talked about the woman that he slept with, like when he called them like puck bunnies.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe the way that he described them was accurate. Maybe they were just, you know, wanting to hook up with hockey players for the social status, but a part of me is like, maybe he's just not really understanding like women.
Obviously in real life, it's like, fuck you, dude. But in the book, that was the reasoning that was given.
Yeah, I'm like understanding to an extent, but then a part of me is like,
gross.
How much of this is just being, you know, a dude from a dude's perspective and just not being aware.
But, you know, the ultimate comeuppance is that he literally pulled a Kendall by the end of the book. So,
yeah, right. What were your red flags that you saw?
Well, we talked about Justin, that number one. Mm. We already went over him. Goodbye. When they're at the Thanksgiving dinner and it comes out that Garrett's dad pushed his current girlfriend into leaving her job.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently she had her own business or something. Oh, well, he wanted to be around me more. No, 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 ma'am. If your partner is pushing for you to quit your job so you can be around more, that's some sketchy shit. That's isolation. They're trying to isolate you.
And I mean, she moved in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. No, no.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Anyone out there listening, do not move in with your significant other after 2 weeks. Sure, maybe one in a million it works out. but it's probably not going to work out. There's no reason to move
them. For the most part.
Yeah.
Don't do it unless you, like, unless you've known them for years and years and years and you know 100% who they are as a person. Don't do it. Even then, you don't know what someone's like until you live with them.
Right.
So you better make sure you like them enough to do so. 2 weeks is not enough time to evaluate someone's character. But yeah, so if your significant other wants you to quit your job,
don't do it.
It's a red flag. Now, you know, there are different contexts, like, oh, you're overworked, or, oh, you stay home and take care of the kids and all. Go to work because we can't both work, you know, just something. And that's, and I'm not saying that is men making the women stay home. Like, you know, women can make men stay home. There are stay-at-home dads. It goes both ways. But this isn't that. You barely know each other. You're moving very quickly. And then all of a sudden, they want you to quit your job.
Yeah, especially if it's like a they want you to do it situation. If it's a,
yeah,
oh, well, I want to quit my job so I can, I don't know, even if you just don't want to work and you're in a relationship that they feel like they can support you and, I don't know, doing whatever your hobbies are, or, you know, not working, even if it's not with a kid, fine. But not with someone that's like, I want you to quit. That's red flag.
Yeah, I agree. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
I mean, there's a lot to be learned.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would say, you know, just meet all of the hot hockey players and make deals with them. And you'll probably get something good out of it.
There you go.
Did you find anything that was helpful?
I feel like I said something similar to this last episode, but I'm going to say it again if I did. So this bears repeating. Just listen. When someone tells you they don't want to date you to your face, bluntly, they're being 100% serious, and you should listen.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
So this is a weird little thing. I want to say, okay, so Garrett got her number from the sign-up sheet.
Oh, yeah, another creeper move.
Okay, so is it just me, or when you're in stores and they ask for your phone number for, like, membership shit, and you have to literally verbally give them your number with all these people around you that you don't know? Do you ever think about that? You ever think, like, oh, this creepy guy behind me in line, he's got my number now, or oh, he's got my email?
Yeah, I think about that all the time, because okay, I have heard instances where, like, I have a friend, I forget where did I hear, I can't remember, like, where I heard this, like, a friend of a friend, she went and checked out at a store and had to do that, had to get her phone number.
Yeah.
Maybe even just had it in the system. She had a membership card or whatever with them. Mm-hmm. And the employee literally uses that, pulls out her information to text her. She's like, who is this? And he's like, oh, hey, I thought you were cute. I'm the cashier at blah, blah, blah. And she's like, how'd you get my number? And he's like, oh, I just, like, looked it up on the computer.
Oh.
That is scary.
Yeah.
And I also recently heard a story where someone was, I think this was, I'm in this Facebook group for people that are, like, dating, because I'm single, so holla out there. They share, like, memes or whatever, funny, or just stories, which is always entertaining. But someone had posted in there a screenshot of, I guess, they, someone on Tinder had saw them on Tinder. They didn't match, but he saw in one of her pictures she had a shirt on of some place where she had been. And then he went on the Facebook group, or maybe Instagram or something. I think it was Instagram. And, like, typed in the place that was on her shirt and saw, went through all the likes, or, you know, followers of this page, and found her.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
Went through crazy internet stalking to find her, and then messages her, like, oh, hey, I saw you on Tinder, and, like, I saw you on your photo, you know, all of this, and I was able to track you down. Like, he openly admits how he was able to find her page. And then she just responds, okay, Joe from the show You.
Oh my god.
Which, have you seen You?
Yes.
It's literally like Joe from the show You.
It really is. Don't. And then they get angry that women aren't flattered by this. It's like, that's not
yeah
cute. I don't know. I feel like my friends and I pulled some sketchy shit.
I mean, I stalk.
But I would never.
I would never message someone.
Yeah, that's the difference. We don't. We'll stalk and we'll obtain info, but we're not going to ask you out.
We're not going to be weird about it.
We just want to lurk.
Mostly, I'm just doing it like for my own personal safety.
Yeah, true.
Especially if it's someone I've never met. I'm like, I'm trying to like figure out who you are before I waste any time on this date.
Yeah.
You know?
Woo! All right. Spicy snippet.
I'm just trying to like formulate my thoughts. I guess my spicy snippet is more of like a just kind of an overall idea because when I finish reading it, you know, one of the first things I do when I finish reading a book is I go to Goodreads, I go to Amazon. I like to read what other people thought about the book.
Yeah.
So then when I saw all the negative, and I mean, to be fair, I did, you know, I was, you know, criticizing a lot of it too, you know, especially when we were talking about our least favorite part.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think ultimately it's getting a lot of unfair. A lot of the criticism I saw was pretty intense, like 0 stars. I hate this. It's all bad. I feel like people were just like pushing it way out of proportion, trying to make it out like way bigger of a deal. Like there was nothing good out of having these big issues in the book.
Mm.
And for me, I felt like my spicy take was just that I actually really like this book. And to read all of the hatred towards it and to see all of the,
yeah,
you know, kind of commotion. And I was just kind of shocked because I felt like it was really enjoyable. And like, you know, even with all that.
Yeah. I originally read this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I started reading this pretty early on. And I remember when I first went to review it. Everyone loved it. They thought it was great. Da da da. So when I reread it and went to Goodreads to pull reviews, I was also shocked because there were so many bad reviews that were just very, like you said, they were very intense.
Yeah.
And then it kind of made me question, well, shit, you know, like a normal reaction would be getting defensive because you like something, someone's calling some stuff out, and you're like, hey, 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 hey now. But I read through a lot of them, I digested it, and I thought about it, and I can see where they're coming from, you know, to each their own. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, especially like some of the stuff I felt like was overblown, like with Garrett, like when they were just saying, oh, he's like a misogynist, and they had all these quotes of things that he said. I think at one point he makes a joke that women have smaller brains, and to me, I read that it's clearly a joke.
He was being sarcastic.
And so people are pulling all these quotes that were like saying all, you know, this, you know, the horrible things he said, but it's like, it was just a joke, and I don't know how you could have read it as not being.
Yeah. He was doing it to tease Hannah. Like, he was baiting Hannah half the time, trying to bicker with her.
Yeah, but it did kind of make me second guess. I had to, like, have a moment where I was like, wait, am I just, like, totally in the wrong here? Because there was just so much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, I understand that there's nuance. But I still stand by me liking this book. I think it's definitely still a very enjoyable book to read.
Yeah.
And I don't think that any of the faults are necessarily make it like a 0 star or 1 star. Some people, they went to the extreme of like, I had to put the book down. So
I don't know. I probably sound like a major fucking idiot asshole in this episode. Like when I went and read those reviews, I was like, fuck, should we just pick another book? This is heavy. This book is not heavy. Why are the reviews so heavy?
I feel like me and you are typically, we're on, you know, we err on the side of, I feel like we're more open to, I don't know, like having discussions about that and maybe seeing like the negativity and having and being open to like, okay, something being problematic, I guess. So we're both of us are like, we see problematic things, we call them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But or just like being like
aware,
not being one of those people that's like, oh, everything's canceled. I could see how.
Yeah.
Maybe swinging the other way of like, oh, cancel culture. They're just trying to cancel the book. And I feel like it's just somewhere in the middle for me of like, you just have to know and understand what you're reading and kind of use that as context.
There's always context.
But yeah, I'm usually more of a sensitive person when it comes to reading like something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then for me to not be offended, I'm like, oh, huh, weird.
And I'm not saying anyone with these negative, I'm not saying they're wrong.
No.
No one's saying, if you hated this book, cool. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to fight you over it. What were we even talking? Oh, spicy snippets. We're on spicy.
Spicy snippets.
I feel like this whole thing's been kind of spicy.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, when we have such a serious subject matter for even like part of the book, it's hard to not talk about it, especially with the controversy online.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ignore it for sure. And, you know, if this is offensive in any way to someone, you know, I do sincerely apologize. I'm not trying to go for that at all. You know, if you disagree with anything I've said, you know, let me know. Because I could be completely talking out of my ass and not realize important facts. Like, I've missed them somehow. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. I never claimed to be a perfect person or to know everything.
Yeah. But this is just how I am perceiving it at this given moment.
Yeah. These are just personal opinions on a fluffy book. What did I have? Ah, okay. So we've talked about Justin like this whole time. I don't think Justin's character should have been redeemed in the end.
No, like, don't make him a friend. Don't make him, just leave him in the dust. That's what I have to say.
Yeah. No, he doesn't deserve it. He was literally used as a plot device. He wasn't an actual character. So
yeah, not even likable.
You don't need him included. Just let him go off and live his lame ass fake hipster life.
Yeah, I feel like his whole character is just weird.
I was getting bad vibes.
Yeah, like, I just did not really like him, and I feel like I thought later he'd become more likable and become more of a character, but he just kind of like was there.
No, that's my spicy take. I stand by it.
Yeah, for sure.
Moseying on over to the speed round.
Yay.
Who would you want to be besties with and why?
I think I would just want to be besties with all of Hannah's friend group, because they seemed honestly pretty solid and really supportive, especially, you know, God, why am I keep blanking on her friend's name?
Allie.
I don't know. I just feel like I got such good vibes from their friend group.
Yeah.
Overall. What about you?
I thought about this, you know, quickly, because it's a speed round. Allie seems like a really good ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to throat punch and why?
I mean, we might have the same answer, because I think we've been shit-talking him all night. So I'm going to say Justin. This one.
Hell yeah!
I mean, I guess there's, like, a few other people I'd want to throw a punch. Like, the dad. 100%. I could give him, like, 10 punches to the throat. I would. But I mean, Justin was just like annoying throughout the whole book. I felt like, I don't know, I just didn't care for him. What about you? Who would you throw a punch?
So obviously the dad and Justin. Also Cass.
Oh yeah.
Fucking solo stealer.
That was bad.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck him.
Fuck that guy. I will punch him right in the face. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Garrett, especially after watching the way he kicked, you know, that guy's ass who was from Hannah's hometown, the one that was the best friend of her rapist.
No.
The way he just, you know, literally took him out without even thinking, which, I mean, kind of like toxic masculinity, but if we're talking about, like, in a fight, it seemed like he just went at it. Like, he just was like, testosterone, like, let's go.
Yeah.
What about you? Who do you want on your side?
Back to the locker room scene. There's a part in there where, of course, Dean, his quote slutty roommate, is there, and he's just fully naked, letting it all hang out, not fazed at all. Oh, hey, Hannah, just walking by, like, oh, hey, what's up? Men's locker room, cool. Check out my dong. Based on that, I would choose Dean, because he could just like walk out naked and make everyone feel so uncomfortable, and it would just get squashed immediately.
Wow, that's a good strategy. I wouldn't have thought of that, you know, like, you're more of a pacifist than me. I was like, let's freaking rage, let's go.
There's a large naked man here now, and it's really uncomfortable. I gotta go.
Just, like, scare the fight out of the situation. Just, like, calm everyone down when they're just focused on a peen in the room.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was so funny. But he's also a super buff hockey player. So, if they, you know, if that wasn't enough to scatter everyone, he could still kick ass. Who would you cast for these characters?
So I feel very strongly about who I would cast as Garrett.
Oh.
For some reason, I feel very strongly about this.
Okay.
Noah Centero. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. Centero. The guy, he's in all the Netflix movies where he plays that goofy guy.
Oh, I know him. He's in everything.
Handsome and, like, kind of jockey. Like, he's in that movie, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And I feel like he plays, like, that's a very similar dynamic, that movie.
Yes.
You know, kind of a nerdy girl with a jock guy who's, like, lovable and charismatic.
Yeah.
So that was definitely the vibes I was picking up for him. Like, when I was reading it, I was like, yeah, that's him. It just made so much sense in my head. For Hannah, this is kind of a random one, especially if you didn't watch One Tree Hill. Have you seen One Tree Hill?
Are you going to say Sophia Bush?
No.
Is it like a side character?
Yeah, it's a side character, and she only shows up in the later seasons.
What's her name?
She plays Alex Dupree. Her name is, let me see, Jana Kramer. I don't know why I just, like, when I read this book, I was like, that's her. Just, I don't know, like, her character in One Tree Hill isn't even, like, that similar. I mean, her character in One Tree Hill, she's, like, an actress who shows up in, I don't even know what season, like, it's got to be, like, season, like, 5 or something. So it's, like, clearly later on.
Okay, I can see that.
She's just, like, brunette, pretty. Yeah. Just the way her personality is in One Tree Hill. When I was reading the book, I was like, yeah, this feels like her, because she kind of has that banter thing going on where she's kind of like sweet, but then also like minty with her words.
I could see that. I like it.
What about you? Do you have anyone you would really want to play?
For Hannah, there is a plus size model and her name is Barbie Ferreira.
Oh, yeah. She's in Euphoria, right?
I never watched that show.
I think she's in Euphoria. I know she is. She's really cool. I could see that.
Because, I mean, they do mention Hannah's curves and whatnot, and she probably isn't plus size, but why not?
Yeah, I'm into it.
For Garrett, it's an actor. His name is Cody Christian, and he played Arya's little brother on Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, I just finished rewatching Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is him grown.
Okay, yeah. I could see that.
Not Arya's little brother age. He's grown now. I think he would be a really good one. He was also in Teen Wolf. I can't remember his character's name. I'm currently in the middle of rewatching Teen Wolf.
I love Teen Wolf, too. I want to rewatch that one.
That's what we think. Let's see what everyone else thinks. We vaguely talked about it. So we're going to go low to high.
Okay.
Marissa rated it 1 star. I read this because I saw it on TikTok 10 times in a row, and it was free on Apple Books. I still feel like I deserve to be compensated somehow for my effort.
Ooh.
Damn. Anna rated it 2 stars. I'm actually so embarrassed right now. Please don't talk to me.
I mean, I kind of get it.
All right, Retro Dropout. 2 stars. Thanks, I hate it.
Well, at least they gave it 2 stars. Like, they really didn't hate it that much, right?
Yeah. We've got Paige, 3 stars. I don't read contemporaries, let alone romances. Death and destruction is much more my forte. Regardless, I really felt at home with these characters. But to elaborate, this book would have been nothing if it weren't for the amazing personalities and scrumptious banter. It was full of the cheesiest, most cliche tropes and writing I've ever encountered since my Wattpad days. For example, having to read the words "I came" in a physical book really disheveled me.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. I feel like I haven't heard that. what was it? What'd you say? Scrumptious?
Yes, yeah, scrumptious.
Haven't heard that word in a while.
There's like, she's got like a couple more sentences here. I think. Yeah. Oh, it was folded. I didn't see it. But that can't take away the charm that radiates from this story. Hannah and Garrett had amazing chemistry, so much so that I'm willing to excuse their cringy intimate scenes and tropey development.
That's fair.
I mean, I know I talked about my favorite parts, but just in general, the reason I like this book so much is the couple. Hannah and Garrett is a couple. It's, and their banter, it's hilarious. It's fun. It's cute. It's just nice. It's just like a little warm and fuzzy read.
Yeah, I feel like it really works. And I like how a lot of like what Hannah responds, she's not super like mushy, you know?
Yeah.
She'll call him dude sometimes. And like, I feel like it's just not, it just works.
I don't know how to explain it. Normally people would be like, oh, you're a feminist. I can't believe you like this book. Well, I do. So I don't know what to tell you. Don't ask me exactly why. I can't really articulate it. It just worked. Okay. And then we've got Romy. 3.25 stars. I can't lie, this shit was addicting AF. But that being said, I cannot not talk about the objectification of women, all these your / I'm not like other girls comments, the comments on weight, etc. That didn't sit well with me. I think I'll continue with the series because I heard it gets better and it's quick and simple to read. Sandy, 4 stars. This was such a fun and entertaining read. I especially loved that the story was very family oriented and being able to see the different family dynamics depicted throughout the book. If you don't like plots where everything goes wrong, you might not enjoy this book. I usually don't like those type of plots, but I didn't get as stressed out or as anxious as I thought I would be reading this.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of books I've read were just horror.
Oh,
just straight horror books. That's kind of what I lean towards.
Yeah.
And it's like watching a scary movie, but like when you read horror, it's way worse or way more intense. And I can't read for longer than 30 minutes. All of them. I have to like put it down because it would be like just a lot. I cannot. It's too scary.
Yeah. Emma gave it 5 stars. Believe the hype. Purely wonderful. Still smiling days later. Loved it. I think that's accurate because after I read it, it's like, oh,
yeah, cute.
You know, it's like, oh, that was cute. Okay. And you get a little happy. Those are the thoughts of the masses. Big moment. What kind and how, what type and how many phallic symbols would you rate this book?
So I am going to give this book a 3.5 out of 5 hockey sticks. So I actually really liked this book, obviously, as you know, I've mentioned, but it wasn't worthy enough for me to be like obsessed. Like, I think it's just, you know,
yeah,
it just had a few things that held it back that I felt like it could have been better. And I don't know, at the end of the day, I'm not huge into the genre. I don't really read that many of these kind of books, but for me, I was pretty happy with it. I liked it. So
yeah. You think you're going to read the rest?
Honestly, just because I found this book so easy to read and so quick. Like, I think I read it in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hard. It was just like, you just fly through it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to read the next one, at least.
Book number 2 is Logan's.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you do, let me know. Let me know what you think. I'll be interested.
Yeah. Well, what about you? What kind of rating did you give this?
I gave it 5 hockey sticks.
5 out of 5. Whoa.
That's right. 5 out of 5. I just really liked it. It's very light. It's a quick read. It's fun. It's really funny. I really like the characters, and not just the main characters, pretty much the entire ensemble, all of them. It's just a good time. A more in-depth sentimental reason would be that I was in a pretty serious reading slump for a few years there, and this series, these books, are what got me out of it, and I never really stopped reading since. In a way, it's just a sentimentality gratefulness. I don't know what you want to call it, but this is one of my favorite series. So yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
No, I mean, if you like it, you like it. Like, if that's how you feel, 5 out of 5, props.
Yeah, so there. And as usual, I will be posting my review under the podcast Goodreads account. So check that out if you like. Probably not. It's fine. Cool, cool, cool. I don't even know what musical intro to do. There have been so many inappropriate things that we've accidentally done. So we're just gonna roll right into it. It's time for the bi-weekly boner. Okay. This doesn't happen often, but this week's boner comes directly from the source material. The Deal, the book we read. It's the scene where Hannah first encounters Garrett's nether regions and refers to his penis as a giant man monster.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot. What did we have last time? It was like something mermaid-y or something, like dolphins or rings.
Yeah, it was something out there.
And now we've got monsters.
Casual.
Like a giant man monster. Like, I just, like, it makes me think of like an action figure. Like of like some buff dude.
Yeah, it's wild.
Honorable mention goes out to Hannah because she refers to her vagina as her lady canal. Oh, Hannah, love it.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's the erotic eel for this week. But eventually, I'd like to hear some maypole descriptions from all of you listeners. No pictures, please, just written descriptions. You can email the goods to turgidtomespodcast@gmail.com. Put biweekly boner in the subject line. And don't forget, you must include the name of the book and author. Round 2. You did it.
Yay.
Would you say this experience was better than round 1?
I mean, about the same. Both times have been fun. I think I enjoyed this book a little more than Engagement and Espionage.
Yeah.
I mean, both have been fun.
Good. Would you do it again?
Yes, assuming you give me a couple months.
Yeah, next time we'll have to go with one of the ones you like, the tearjerkers.
Okay.
I'm not ready.
For sure.
Well, thanks for coming on again. I'm excited. I'm excited for you to return.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me again. This has been really fun.
Yes.
I'm glad to have, you know, been exposed to a couple of books that I probably wouldn't have read otherwise. So this has been really fun.
Well, next time I'm going to read your favorite style, and it's not something I usually read. So
yeah, I'll come up with something like really sappy and we can read that.
We'll just be really sad and cry together next time we record.
Yeah, gotta love some tears.
Gotta really get in our feels. Join me back here in 2 weeks to kick off the Smutmas Spectacular. All December, we will be giving the gift of smut, starting with Ice Planet Barbarians by Ruby Dixon.
Oh.
December's gonna be fucking crazy.
Sweet. Looking forward to listening. Do you hear that?
Yeah. Jesse. And remember
to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.
Doodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group, where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.